Blog Talk Radio.
Santa Claus is coming in a buggy, wuggy, choo choo train.
Mighty, much to my surprise, nobody's been naughty,
everybody's been nice. Now Santa likes to boogie, Santa likes to dance, Santa likes to rock it, likes to go real fast, Santa likes to ride in the boogie woogie choo-choo train.
Santa's got the elves working overtime. He's doubled the production on the toy production line.
Opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
And good
morning, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. Yes, Santa Claus is coming to town in a boogie-woogie choo-choo train, and I'm coming to you from California on the top of a mountain in San Diego. I'm on a new system this morning, and as they say in the radio world, my acoustics should probably sound different. Last week we had all kinds of problems with our system. We lost contact with the world for a while, but we are up and running again this week. I hope everyone had a great week last week. We apologize to all those guests we had last week with the fun, but hey, it's always fun on Green Ideas Radio. And just want to also, again, as I guess I sound like I repeat myself, but just like to thank everybody for your support. We keep breaking records week after week, keep getting more listeners. So somebody's out there telling their friends, and it keeps adding on each week. So thank you, everybody out there, for helping us out each week as we bring you the foodie fun. We try to make you laugh. Hope you learn something in the process. And I guess that's what we do. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on our first guest. You all guys know her on Facebook, Katarina Borg. She comes on every month to do her little special, I call them sexy dessert segments. And we have her on again this week. And let me play her intro.
Introducing Sinful Saturdays with Kitty Cat, your queen. Sweet.
Welcome, 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 Kitty Cat, to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
How are you this morning? How is it out there in Maryland?
Well, it's a little overcast. It's a little dreary, but, you know, we're here and we're making desserts, and it's all good. Are you by yourself today?
Yes.
No Aaron today?
Well, Aaron is out barbecuing in a contest today, and he may show up. He's probably right now, see, what's it, about 11:30 on the East Coast, so he's probably prepping for the judges right now, but he'll be jumping in and out of the show. And in fact, wait a minute, guess what? Guess who just jumped in? hold on a second. I think we have Aaron as we speak. Hold on. Hey, Aaron, is that you?
What up, man?
What up? I didn't know if you were going to be showing off your thighs or being on the show this morning.
Well, I just turned my thighs in at 11, and we're about to take ribs apart and start putting those in. So it's almost turning time for ribs, and then from that point, it's putting the pork box together and the brisket box together, and then we wait.
Well, say hello to Kitty Cat. She's on the line here with us this morning.
Hey, Cat, how you doing?
Fine, love. How are you?
Fantastic.
Did you bring your frosting?
Say that again?
Did you bring your frosting?
Oh, yeah. Always have the frosting.
We're going to be icing a lot of things today.
All right.
Oh, really?
I love to ice things. Hey, Kitty Cat.
Well, you know,
I have to ask you a quick question. I know you're going to be talking about icing things, but you're also going to be talking about centerpieces on your table.
Yeah, well, the last show of the year today is I'm going to be discussing how to make some edible centerpieces for your dessert table. I mean, we always want to do something that, you know, is going to be kind of the highlight of your table. And, of course, we don't want to always do, you know, artificial things. It's great to put a, you know, bouquet of flowers or something like that, but how cool is it to be able to actually make something that maybe people can kind of pick off of, or, you know, something that, you know, you can make and kind of reuse it. You know, the holidays last over, you know, you've got Thanksgiving and then you've got Christmas right after, and then you've
right.
got New Year's. So it's nice to be able to make something that, you know, is reusable, but still, you know, all made of, you know, food. And, and I've got a couple of really great ideas, but I was really laughing this morning because I wanted, you know, I always come on the show and I want to say some funny things to kind of get the things going. And one thing that had me kind of giggling before you you brought me on was something that I read here where it said, never worry about the size of your Christmas tree. In the eyes of children, they are always 30 feet tall. But that would apply to so many other things. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, I've always said size does not matter.
I better keep my mouth shut right now before, it starts, before we take this show for a ton of worse. Holy cow.
And I do
that
like the I do like to trim my tree, too.
I was laughing so hard, I thought, you know, let me compose myself before he brings me on here. But there was another one that I thought was really, really funny. And it was a comment made by someone named Dave Barry. And it says, in the olden days, it was not only called the holiday, it was not called the holiday season. The Jews called it Christmas and went to church. I mean, the Christians called it Christmas and went to church. The Jews called it Hanukkah and went to synagogue. The atheists went to the parties and drank. People passing each other on the street would say Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah, but the atheists would say, look out for the wall. It took a while, but you know, you get there eventually.
Oh,
I thought that was a good one. But then I've saved the last one for after the show. So let's just jump right into desserts. Okay.
All right.
Have you ever heard of
I always love jumping into desserts and jumping out of desserts too.
Have you ever made rock sugar before? I mean, I'm sure you've seen it and I'm sure you've heard of it, but have you ever made it before?
You know what? I have been worried sick about my centerpiece and also how to make rock sugar. No, I have not.
Well, that's one of the things that I'm going to show people how to do is how to make rock sugar. And you can actually make some beautiful centerpieces from rock sugar. And, of course, rock sugar is one of those things that, you know, a lot of people, it became very trendy, I'd say about 5 years ago or so, and you'd start seeing it on little sticks that people would, you know, purchase. A lot of the high-end hotels would serve it with a cup of coffee or tea. They'd serve it right by your cup, and then you would just unwrap it and then stir it as the sugar in your coffee or your tea. I guess you don't frequent any of the high-end hotels.
Do I look like I frequent?
It's usually
too often.
It's usually reserved to motels or motor inns as you drive by.
Yeah, the places I go to have the little white packs that you shake and tear the top off and pour in.
So one of the centerpieces are going to be made of rock sugar. Now, some of the ones that I'm going to be sharing are things that would be great for people who don't necessarily like to bake. And don't want to actually bake the components and then put them together. So the rock sugar would be one for people that don't like to bake.
Hold on a second. Aaron, are you still there?
I'm still here. I'm not here wheeling and dealing. Let me say this. Jesse, can I use just a basic expletive?
Yes.
Right now.
Oh,
okay.
No.
So I'm just gonna say this. We had a visitor. It's Crazy Bitch Sauce, who came over to us to bring us a bunch of sauce to try, and it's fantastic. So we're over here in wheeling, dealing, trying to get lemon pepper rub and sauce and all kind of. Yeah,
you
so
gotta
we're
bring
in
them
the middle
the show.
Of wheeling.
Yeah,
right.
we'll bring them on the show.
You want to talk to her right now?
Hey, Kat,
that sounds like a great sauce.
Yeah. Kat,
I love the name.
I hope you're not mad at me, Kat, but here we go.
No, God. The more the merrier,
I'm going to hand over to the crazy bitch right now. Okay, hold on.
We're going to have lots of crazy bitches on tonight, right?
Hello.
This is the crazy bitch. Hey, I got paperwork to prove it. I got a business license.
Well, welcome to the show. You're live on air on Great Ideas Radio, and he said he had a crazy bitch that wanted to come on the radio. So tell us what you do. What kind of sauce do you have?
I have barbecue sauces. I have five different flavors, and the most popular, the best seller is my chicken shit sauce. It's a Carolina mustard based sauce, and it looks like chicken shit, and I promise you it's the best chicken shit you ever tasted.
Well, you got to, hey, I want to try some of that chicken shit. Make sure you give that to Aaron.
Well, I tell you what, crazybitchsauce.com.
All right.
I love it.
Crazybitchsauce.com. Thank you for stopping in.
Crazybitchsauce.com.
All right.
Good luck. Well,
everybody check it out.
Thank you. Well, I'm in the sauce contest. Hopefully we'll win something with my chicken shit. Oh, we have fun doing it anyway. Thank you.
Have a great time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have to have her on. Brilliant. You got
what the? How'd that work out?
I love it. That's great. Well, what a way to get trumped, man. Let me tell you, I don't think my rock sugar even compares at this point. But let me try to carry on at least.
All right, go back to your rock sugar.
Well, the upside is that she told me she named that sauce after her ex-husband. So I don't know what that means.
Sounds like a potential host position, I think.
Yeah.
So needless to say,
she
it's been
had
awesome
her audition.
I've got to put ribs together. I popped in, and I hate to have to pop out on you guys, but we got to put the rib box together, and then I'll call you back here shortly.
All right.
Good luck,
see
babe.
See you in a little while. Bye.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Go back to rock sugar.
Forget the cupcakes. Let's go to the chicken sauce.
That was great. That's probably one of the best phone calls we've ever had.
That was just hysterical. I'm going to definitely check out her site because how funny. Oh, my God. And if the stuff tastes as good as it sounds, then, you know, I mean, win-win. But anyway,
yes.
Let me get back to my cupcakes here that I promised Gina that I was going to share with her. Gina's one of my Facebook friends, and I love her dearly, and you know her as well as I do. And she's going to be doing, I guess, lots of cooking this year for the holidays, and she's looking for a great centerpiece. And she was she came across these red velvet cupcakes with some white chocolate stars. So I'm going to throw something together for her and do a post for her. So if you're sort of kind of into baking, but you're not really kind of all the way there and you want to do something, but you don't want to go all out, then doing something along these lines. I know people are sick and tired of doing cupcakes, but it's the easiest thing for people who, you know, want to do something nice, but don't have a lot of time to do too much. So we're going to do that one in Gina's honor. And I think that is going to turn out really great.
I do like red velvet. Red velvet cake is probably one of my favorite. And I assume you're putting on the special icing too. So everybody, before I forget too, make sure you check out all these things that Kat will be talking about here today on her website, goodfoodgourmet.com. I assume you're going to post that on that website today?
Yep. I share everything with everyone on Facebook, and then I add the posts to the blog, so if we're not friends on Facebook, you could still catch the posts and all the tips that come along with it. So it's going to be a crazy couple of weeks here as we kind of wind down the end of the year to the holidays, and I know everybody's off and running for trying to get their shopping and everything done. So I was trying to get at least a few things done early on and get them some shopping lists. But most of these things are pretty easy to throw together. Nothing really kind of out of the ordinary that people don't generally have on hand or have access to. I think, you know, doing really fantastic centerpieces is great, but, you know, if people can't find this stuff, that is going to discourage them from doing it. So I try
right.
to stick to things that are pretty easy to do. But one of the other things...
Hey, wait a minute, though, but you started off a little while ago with rock sugar. That's not really easy to find, is it? Like,
no, it is.
Right?
It is. You could go to just about any... No, you go to lots of candy stores carry it these days. They carry it kind of on a little pop. Or you kind of find it in chunks. I've been to many, many places and lots of just regular candy places, and even the high-end places have it. So that is very something that's very easy to find. And if you're inclined to make it, I'm going to show everyone how to make it, and you can make it in different colors, and you can add flavors to it. And, again, makes a great centerpiece. All you need is the rock sugar, a little bit of icing, and some styrofoam balls, and a couple of little flower pots, and you're good to go. You've got some beautiful pieces for either your buffet table or individual tables. If you've got like a huge gathering where you're doing like a seated meal or something like that, and you've got, you know, 5 or 10 people, 6 or 10 people sitting at a table, you know, nice little centerpiece of that. So either way, you know, you're going to be, everybody's going to be set. So I'm doing a little bit for everyone. One of the other things that I'm doing is, have you ever heard of something called piñolata?
No.
Silence again. I'm going to bring the chicken shit girl back on. No, anyway, piñolata is a traditional Italian dessert. And my aunt is Italian, and she asked me to make something for her a long time ago called piñolata, and I'd never heard of it before, so I did some recipe research and came across a couple of recipes, which I tried over Thanksgiving. And essentially what it is a dough that they make, and then they cut it into little tiny little balls, and then they fry the balls, and then they throw it into an icing. And the one from Messina is half with vanilla icing and half with chocolate icing, and then they put the cake together. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw the little balls into the icing, and then I'm going to mold it in a Christmas tree shape, which I think is going to be really cool looking. And, again, this is something that will last, something that, you know, once it's exposed to the air, slightly hardens a little bit on the outside but stays really, really soft on the inside. So you can essentially set it up at the dessert table and then kind of pick away at it. Or
that's
you can
not,
set it up as
good,
your...
That's not a good problem to have. It stays hard on the outside and soft on the inside.
Brilliant. What are we going to do with you?
Well, what are we talking about, piñoladas?
It's a piñolata cake. It's a piñolata cake. So it's beautiful. I mean, I can kind of – I've never made it. I am just envisioning this crazy idea in my head, and I bought all the little pieces that I need this week, and I think it's going to work. So, and if it does, this is the one that I'm making for the holidays for my home.
Okay.
So the other thing that I was going to do was do a cake made of almond macarons. Almond macarons are a traditional Christmas cookie that, you know, similar to the Amaretti cookie, which is a little bit crisper. And everybody's been asking for my almond macaroon recipe, which I sell through Mumsy's. And I have done this modified version of the macaroon cake. Can't share, unfortunately, the proprietary information for Mumsy's, but this is a very, very similar recipe that I will share with everyone. And very easy to make, bake them all off, and again, involves kind of gluing them on to a little iced styrofoam ball as and you can add, you know, sugar ribbons to it, or you can just add regular ribbons to it if you're inclined. And you know, again, make them in different colors. Not the French macaroons now. These are going to be the Italian macaroons, which essentially
are... Now, what's the
difference? Well, the French macaroons are made with almond flour. These are made with almond paste. French macaroons are filled. They're like little sandwiches that are filled with a filling on the inside, and you kind of see them all over the place. And the French ones are actually called macarons, and it's not macaroon.
You're talking dirty now, aren't you?
So the pronunciation is completely different, and the spelling is completely different. But these are going to be the more the Italian version, like the pina cookies, the ones with the pine nuts on the outside.
Okay.
You've probably seen those at Italian markets if you've ever visited one or international markets. Super pricey. They generally run anywhere from $15 to $20 a pound just because the almond paste is really expensive. But all you really need to worry about is almond paste, egg whites, and sugar. And those are three ingredients that anybody can find in any grocery store, put together. And once it's put together, you just scoop it out onto your tray, bake them off, and then once they're baked off, then glue them onto your centerpiece. And I think that one's going to look really great, too. And,
now, the macaroons that I have, too, during Christmas time have the coconut in them.
But those are similar. Those are similar, but those are made with at what they call a desiccated coconut, which is essentially just a dried coconut that isn't sugared. You know, a lot of the coconuts that you find in the regular grocery stores it's the flake coconut, which is long strands and kind of drenched in sugar, so you eat it and very, very sweet. The desiccated coconut actually yields a much better product because you can control the amount of sugar that you add. And I even kind of get the dry coconut and then just process it a little bit so it almost creates, you know, coconut has its own, a lot of its own fat. And even when it's dried, it still maintains that fat. And so when you process it in the food processor and add a little bit of sugar to it, that fat comes out and adds moisture to it. So it almost creates its own paste. So essentially you're creating a macaroon and have to add very, very little bit of ingredient to it to moisten it because that fat adds so much. It's just mostly sugar. But I have a great coconut recipe for coconut macaroons if you would like on the blog. And it's a great recipe, and I may just highlight that recipe because coconut macaroons are one of the more popular cookies to serve for holidays. So
nothing says the holidays more than a coconut macaroon.
Right. Well, we're going to be doing these almond ones, and everybody that's ever tried them has loved them. And so wherever I go, I try to kind of, you know, throw a few in the box because they're very, very popular. So I'm going to be sharing that recipe with you all. And then I also have two other little edible decorations that I'm going to be sharing. Have you ever, I mean, you've gone and you've seen a general fruit display. Now, this is for somebody who wants something really beautiful but does not want to do any baking whatsoever, who just wants to throw something in a bowl and then not worry about it. A couple of years ago, I had gone to a function, and right away, as I kind of approached the area where they had all of the food and everything kind of laid out, there was something kind of glistening off in the distance that really caught my eye. And as I got closer, I noticed that it was a fruit bowl. But the fruit in the fruit bowl was actually dusted with gold dust. And they had grapes, and they had little fresh, currants. You know, have you ever seen little bunches of the fresh currants, red currants? And little tiny sickle pears, and they had, you know, small apples and just all kinds of very unique things. And they had taken the gold powder, which, again, you can get at just about any food craft store or any candy store. It comes in little containers, and you can pick it up and just get just a regular paintbrush. Don't dip it in water. You can just get it dry in the actual moisture from the fruit, or if you say just stick the fruit in the refrigerator, the condensation, when you take it out of the refrigerator, when you're ready to kind of brush on the gold kind of sticks, you know, on the surface of it. And it just adds that extra, for me, and I see a lot of really interesting things, centerpieces, since I've, you know, in the food business for so many years, I've seen so many really gorgeous things. But this was something that was so simple, yet so beautiful. And, you know, especially if you've got a beautiful bowl and then you kind of pile the fruits up and when I do my display, I will put it on Facebook, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's very, very eye-catching and very just absolutely stunning. So all you really need to do is just go get yourself some gold dust powder and a bunch of different fruit and, you know, and decide what bolts you really want to use and throw something together, and then you've got yourself a beautiful display. So that's
one other idea. What is that gold powder made? What's it made out of?
It's actually gold itself, but it's finely ground, and it's a food grade gold.
Like stuff,
so it's
like
not
like
a gold leaf. It's not a gold leaf which comes on the sheets, but it's actually a gold powder. And you see it a lot used in culinary competitions. They will, when you're using it to actually paint, you actually have to add a little bit of liquor to it, because it's really only the liquor that works to create a painting liquid that you can actually brush on, and it dries instantly because of the liquor. You can't use water because the water does not mix well with the gold dust. And it comes in silver dust, too. So if you're the type of person that doesn't want gold and you want silver, and your theme is, you know, black, white, and silver for the holidays, then there's silver dust also. And you could use that, you know, on your display.
Remember the little snowman on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? I feel like we need to be singing silver gold.
But I just wanted to do something fun, you know, and suggest a couple of different things as the, you know, the last show of the year, and everybody's so busy right now with shopping. I mean, they kind of hit the ground running right after, you know, Thanksgiving, and everybody's, you know, in the stores getting their gift list together. And I just thought, how fun to do something simple, but, you know, try to do a couple of different things for, you know, people who have different levels of baking or no baking. And that way everybody can have something equally beautiful for their table. So I just thought that would be something nice. And so my last one.
Yeah, that's how it would be. And don't run off either, too, because I want to ask you a couple questions of what you're going to do about the holidays. But go ahead, what's your last recipe?
Well, my last one is, and you've probably seen this before, because it's a popular technique to use around Easter time, where you take sugar and you add just a little bit of water to it, and you make like a paste, and you pour it into a mold, and then you let it dry. Have you ever seen this before? And then they scrape out the interior, and they create like a lip all the way around, like a one-inch lip all the way around. And a lot of times you'll see kind of like they make a half of an egg, and then they put little piped-out royal icing figures on the inside, little fondant figures. And it's really cute. They'll make like put like a little post at the top and give it as an ornament or what have you. Well, anyway, I wanted to do something similar for a Christmas decoration, and pour it into a funnel shape and make a Christmas tree, or you can pour it into little round molds and make a little snowman. I haven't quite decided yet, since I'm going to be doing the pinolata Christmas tree version. I don't know if I want to do another Christmas tree, so I may be a little bit more creative and maybe try to come up with a little snowman and kind of dress him up. I think that would be absolutely adorable. But then I'd have to find, a mold that has two half circles, and then fill them up, and then kind of join them together. So that might be a little bit challenging. But
well,
I've got couple of great.
All these things, because we're running short on time. All these things can be found on your website, goodfoodgourmet.com, and this coming week you'll be posting those as you move along.
Well, not all of them. I'm going to be doing, you know, one or two a week between now and the holidays.
Okay, between now and the holidays. All right.
Yeah, and because we've got quite a few to cover, and
why can't I do them all at once? No, why? Why can't you get them all done this week? For God's sake.
I try, I really do, but it doesn't always work. But so, one or two a week between now and the holidays. So keep checking back with the blog if we're not friends on Facebook. And if we are, then you'll see everything there. And then I have one last thing to share with you. One of my favorite guys in the world, this was something that Jay Leno said, which I think is absolutely hysterical, and then I'm going to run off.
Okay.
Did you know that the Supreme Court ruled that they can't set up a nativity scene in Washington, D.C.? And it wasn't for any religious reason, but they just couldn't find three wise men and a virgin.
I felt that one coming before it got said. And that's the truth. There aren't any. There's a lot of donkeys there, though. I bet they could probably fill up a whole stable.
And I'm out of here. Have
All
a
right,
wonderful
have a nice
holiday.
Merry Christmas.
I love you, babe.
Thank you.
And
All right.
I'll see you next year.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, check out Kitty Cat's website, Good Food Gourmet. We thank her for coming on and talking about all the different types of desserts that you can prepare for the holidays, the centerpieces. She'll be posting that over the next few weeks on her website. So go there and check it out. We're going to take a brief break here. And, before we go, I see that my sidekick has come back. Maybe he's got something to tell me about the barbecue contest. So, hey, sidekick, are you there?
Yes, sir, you know it.
I'm getting ready to go to break, and we're bringing on Saber Ricci. But how's it going at the contest?
Going good. We got ribs in with 30 seconds to spare. Was how long it took us to get the box turned in.
Wow.
Woo! It was tight. It was a tight one. But yeah. So we got ribs in. They're fantastic.
All right. Well, and you can come back and forth and let us know how things are going there at the contest. I'm going to take a brief break. We're going to be bringing on Saber Ricci next, and everybody. Hang tight. I'm going to play. The poor guy was on our show last week because I had technical difficulty, Matt Ricci. I didn't get a chance to play his music. So I'm going to play one of Matt Ritchie's songs called Wildfire. And if you want to check out Matt Ricci, you could hear him last week on our show and go to his Reverb Nation Matt Ricci page and hear more of his music and buy some of his tunes. But this is Matt Ricci, Wildfire. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here. We'll be talking with Saber Ricci. Everybody hang tight. We'll be right back. back. This is Gree and Ideas Radio. Thanks for tuning in this morning. And if you missed the first part of the show, make sure to go back. You can find out all about some crazy stuff this morning. We've talked about, I hate to say it, but we talked about chicken shit all the way to dessert. So if you missed it, go back and listen. Also check out Katarina's website, goodfoodgourmet.com, for all those desserts for the holidays. And we are going to move along here. We're running a little behind today, but want to bring on our next guest who with her monthly segment called Recipes I Love. This is Saber Ricci. Good morning, Saber Ricci.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. How are you doing? How's everything out there? I guess, are you in Hawaii today?
I am. I am. It's very early here in Hawaii.
Yeah, I guess it is, isn't it? Wake up, Saber.
Yes. This, I got up just to talk to you this morning, Frank.
Wow, thank you. I feel honored.
So, yes, we got a lot in store today. I figured because of the holiday season, we'd combine the aphrodisiacs for Sagittarius because we're in the month of December. So we're going to talk about Sagittarians today, or anyone who has their eye on a Sagittarian. And I thought we'd do something that is in the holiday spirit, so anyone can partake in these goodies. Anyone wanting to get cozy on the sofa with that special someone.
All right, well, fire away. So tell me about Sagittarius. First of all, just what kind of person is Sagittarius?
What kind of well, Sagittarians are the eternal optimists of the zodiac. They yearn for travel, adventure, new experience, and the ability to stay young forever. You know, the song Forever Young by Rod Stewart?
Yeah.
That would be their
yeah.
perfect anthem song.
Okay.
And I'll tell you a couple good matches for Sagges, along with the other fire signs in the zodiac. You know, they get on really well with Leos and Aries, and also Geminis are really great because Gemini is the exact opposite and can be a match made in heaven for the Sagittarians. They'll usually have a suitcase packed for those last minute spur of the moment adventures. And
I thought you were going to say they have a suitcase packed in case they get kicked out.
In case they get kicked out. Yeah. Well, that too. You know, opposites attract, but then whenever there's an opposition, you have the duality that comes with that. So, but Sagittarians are really honest and straightforward folks. You know, what you see is what you get. You know, they tend to put their foot in their mouth from time to time because they are so blunt, you know, but they're the justice keepers. You know, they're very out for the underdog. If you have a Sagittarian friend, you know, they're very loyal, good-natured folks. A lot of fun to have around. A lot of fun to have at your holiday parties this season.
Well, I know on your previous book that you wrote, you had different meals and food that were set for different zodiac signs. So what does a Sagittarius type person eat?
Well, this you know, the new book, Sexy Star Sign Cooking, this one is
right.
how to romance these signs through food and beverage. So it's a little different. The last book, Lobsters for Leos, we actually we have eight foods, and
okay.
Then those eight foods are incorporated into eight great recipes. So the last book was you know, each sign supports a different part of the body in that system. You know, for Sagittarius, it is the liver. But in this book, we're having a lot more fun. We're talking about foods that that are good for the system, but also that are fun. And you know, most of these foods are aphrodisiac. So today, I'm going to talk about three different recipes for the holiday season. The first one being a chamomile hot toddy. because who doesn't want to cozy up by the fire this time of year with someone special, either after dinner or a nightcap, and this is the perfect perfect thing to get you in the mood. And chamomile has very calming properties, so that you can relax and enjoy your partner. It has soothing and sedative qualities, and is a relaxing aphrodisiac.
Yeah, well, we all like relaxing aphrodisiacs, especially afterwards.
Yeah. Okay, well, this one, the chamomile hot toddy is quite easy to make, and this is just for two. But first you're going to just whip up some whipped cream to garnish the drink with some brown sugar and vanilla bean, and whip that up and set that aside. And then in each mug, like most people have like a hot beverage, either like just a coffee cup or like an Irish coffee mug.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to use 1 ounce of Irish coffee in each drink with 2 teaspoons of honey, and then mix in 1 teaspoon of lemon juice. And then on the side, you're going to steep your hot chamomile tea. And then you add that in with the, after it's steeped, you mix that in with the whiskey, the honey, and the lemon, and then garnish it with the brown sugar and vanilla bean whipping cream. And it is very good.
Have you noticed something, Saber, that every time we talk about your recipes for love, there's alcohol involved?
Yeah, well, is that shocking? I'm sure most of your first romantic experiences involved alcohol, huh?
Yeah, they usually have to get drunk. You're right.
I'm not saying that, but you know, we always tend to relax a bit, and you know, going on a first date or when you're really enamored with someone can be a little unnerving in the beginning, you know, especially when you're really excited about someone. You know, I don't know how many times, you know, when I was on the market and really liked someone, you know, sometimes, you know, words became very foreign to me. Didn't even, you know, this blabber mouth had a hard time even getting a word out, you know, that sounded sensible. So I think that when you're first getting to know someone, especially when you have that chemistry, you know, a little hot toddy can't hurt, right?
That's right. You know, and the alcohol, I think, will, as they say, let your hair down. The alcohol brings and lets it so you can talk. Now, as long as you don't start slurring what you're saying, you're okay.
Right. Now, I'm not suggesting that you overindulge. I'm just suggesting, you know, one of these to relax the situation a little bit. Or even if it's someone, you know, I'd have one of these as a late night drink with my husband, and you know, we'd really enjoy something like this. So this isn't just for people that are dating. This is for anyone that wants to get their groove on.
Get their groove on. Now, that's something I haven't heard in a long time. Sorry. So we got our hot toddy and we're getting our groove on. Then we do.
Okay. Well, we have to keep this. This is a daytime radio show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So and the next option on my list, last month we talked about, we did another champagne cocktail. So we've got another one. I mean, it is the season, right?
Yes, it is.
So this is just such an easy. This is something that is just so simple, involving champagne, and you know, even if people don't partake in alcohol, there are a lot of great non-alcoholic sparkling wine options out there these days too. So I always have a bottle of that in the fridge when I'm entertaining for, you know, those that don't partake. So you could do this with champagne or with a non-alcoholic sparkling wine.
Okay.
Either one. Of course, I would prefer the real stuff myself. But this is all you do is infuse this with. You split a vanilla bean in half. You pour your you put one half of a vanilla bean in each glass, and pour your champagne, because vanilla bean is an aphrodisiac that goes way back, and a study conducted by Chicago's Smell Taste Research Foundation has found that vanilla beans are one of the best aphrodisiacs, especially for men. It was found in the 1800s that the scent of vanilla increases a man's sexual propensity.
Really?
And I'm not good. And a good way to use a vanilla bean is to add it to a glass of champagne. So there you have it.
Wait a minute, I'm making up my grocery list. Vanilla beans, okay?
Yeah. And this was actually conducted by accurate research. I mean, because we have the historical, you know, vanilla bean goes way back in, you know, historical times, you know, with folklore as being an aphrodisiac. But this is an actual study that was conducted recently at the University of Chicago. So there you have it. And the last recipe today, and I'm actually going to, what do you want to do? Do you want me to post this on my website, or do you want me to send it to you and you can post it on your site? What would you prefer?
Well, I would think the best way to do that is we both post it.
Okay, perfect. So
yeah,
I'll shoot this over to you. And
all right.
But this is one of my favorites, one of my husband's favorites. Everyone I know loves this, but it's an apple crisp a la mode with a cinnamon sauce.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And, well, cinnamon is another one of those spices that go way back in history, but neurologists at the Smell and Taste Treatment Center and Research Foundation also found that certain scents, such as cinnamon buns, are the best aphrodisiacs. So it's not only like ingesting it. I mean, we all know the medicinal benefits of cinnamon. I mean, there are so many and go back in time. But, you know, they have, I mean, not only aphrodisiac qualities, but a spice, I mean, that Asia used to guard off colds, and cinnamon is used around the world for, you know, for flavoring. Well, number one, it's among the spices considered useful for producing heat in the body.
Okay.
So cinnamon has been measured to, you know, increase the appetite, both physical and and I'm not going to get into that.
Well,
I always
say you can never have too much cinnamon on your buns. That's just that's always been my credo.
I know. Well, who doesn't? Oh, God, there's nothing better than coming in the house and smelling something with cinnamon baking. You know, it's like whether it's cinnamon rolls or apple crisp or, you know, any of the delicious baked goods that people are doing this time of year. So this is great. And you prepare the apple crisp, and then the cinnamon sauce is something that you prepare right before you serve it. And I like to serve the apple crisp warm and then with a big scoop of your favorite vanilla ice cream, which I would have to say probably Haagen-Dazs is one of my favorites. And and then top it with the warm cinnamon sauce. And it is just, like I said, one of my absolute favorites. So
I could dive into a whole quart of Haagen-Dazs and knock it out like you've never seen in your life.
I know, right? I mean, there are a lot of other good products out there, too. But, I mean, Haagen-Dazs is just still, I mean, it's just, especially their vanilla. I love it. So rich and creamy, and it's like a frozen custard. So yeah, that's what I've got lined up.
Now, you're going to post this on your Facebook, and also I want to mention, too, your website to everyone who's listening. They can find you on www.saberrici.com. We've got the link on our show. All you have to do is click and go. And I wanted to ask you, too, before we let you go off into the Hawaiian sunrise, how's the Sexy Star Sign Cooking book coming along?
Oh, it's fabulous. It'll be on the shelves January 8th next year, so almost, well, it's actually a month from today, but
okay.
You can pre-order this on Amazon.com, and there is a link on my website at saberrici.com that will take you right there. If you pre-order, you can save 32% off the list price. You can also pre-order it at Barnes & Noble and I think those are the only two right now, or, you know, directly through the publisher. But all those links are on my website.
Okay.
And, yeah, so really excited, gearing up. I'll, next month I'll have my lineup, so I can tell you the appearances I'll be making to promote the book. Most of that's going to happen at the beginning of February, pre-Valentine's Day stuff.
Okay.
So really exciting, and I did an interview with the New York Post this past week, and that's also you can read that article on Facebook, on my Facebook page, on my public page, Saber Rici. So that was fun, and that talks more about the recipes in the book as well.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in so bright and early over there in Hawaii and passing along all these recipes for love. And I guess you can go back to bed now. It's still early enough. Go get a few winks.
Oh, no. I'm on my way to my Brazilian butt class. I'm just going to grab another cup of coffee and get on over there and work out. So,
day. Speaking of cinnamon on your bun, go work out your Brazilian butt.
Oh, my goodness. This is
all
the best
right. Well, you
ever.
Take care. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
All right, you too, and happy holidays. Okay, everybody, check out saberrici.com. You can find information about her book, and also she'll be posting on her Facebook the recipe we talked about, and you can get yourself in the mood and all those recipes for love that she's mentioning. We appreciate her joining us each Saturday, each month. And I guess next month we'll be talking about another Zodiac sign when she returns. And I'm going to take another break. Like I said earlier, Matt Rici was on our show last week. And unfortunately, we could not play his music due to technical difficulties. So I told Matt I would play some of his music. Make sure you check out Matt Rici at ReverbNation.com. His song is called Home, and we will be back here after we play the song, and we'll be talking to our next guest from Northern California, Hoff Zari, and everybody hang on. We'll be right back.
Now, to the throne now. the smell of cigarettes. They are denied us. Now it sounds to death. Everything changes. And I'm not in now. I was shameless. And it just started raining. And so now I'm coming home. And so now I'm coming home. I'm not saying now. My voice staying up. And it just started raining. So now I'm coming home. So now I'm coming home. So now I'm coming home. So now I'll be home. So I'm coming home.
And we are back, and this is Green Ideas Radio. And Ideas, and that was Matt Ritchie, his song Home. He was on our show last week. If you didn't get a chance to hear last week's show, it turned out to be hilarious because we had technical difficulties, but as they say, the show must go on. But check out Matt and his story. Go to Reverb Nation and you can find Matt Ritchie, R-I-T-C-H-I-E, and check out his music. And thank you, Matt, for being on our show last week. And there you go, I played some of your music for you. And now we are moving along here to our next guest, and this gentleman is from up in Northern California, and I'm probably destroying his last name, but Hoss, I hope you're here this morning. Good morning. Are you there?
Good morning.
Pronounce your last name for me because I probably destroyed it a little while ago.
No, you were just fine. It's Zare. It's a Z-A-R-E, and it's accent at the E, and means farmer in the Persian language. My great-great-grandfather, they were farmers.
Really?
So Zare means farmer, yes.
Oh, wow. So welcome to the show. And I love, by the way, I love the name of your restaurant. It's called Fly Trap. And I saw that, and I'm like, oh, my God, what a great, great name for a restaurant. So,
there's
how long
started behind it?
How long you been in the restaurant business?
Oh boy, I immigrated to the United States in 1986 and to go to school. I was planning to become a brain surgeon, and I guess now I'm an animal surgeon. So I have my white jacket and knife, except I don't get the lawsuits. So I came. I went to medicine. I met a school, but then I was lucky enough to find my true passion through my journey, and I started working at my brother's restaurant. I fell in love, and I can say since almost 88, I took it seriously, and 1990, I left the school and pursued my career in the cooking. I never regretted it.
Wow. And now you say you're originally from Iran?
I am from Iran, and I'm actually northern Iran, Azerbaijan, Tabriz, and so I speak Turkish, Azeri too, Turkish and Farsi both, yeah.
Huh. Now, what kind of, at your restaurant, what type of food do you serve there? Does it have a certain type of flair there?
Yeah.
Or is it just a combination of different foods, or what type of flair food is it?
Well, that's a great question, because all my career I started the California cuisine, moved on to Italian and French, mostly specialized in Italian, and even my name was when I was a Lion Capasta man. So, but this is my first restaurant that I opened. Fishes, it was a kind of welcoming back after 20 years. I bought the restaurant that I started. It's a, there's a lot going on in this restaurant for me that is all, is, there's no time on the show to talk about it. It can be a book itself. So I started that. Plus, you know, usually sometimes I call it Mediterranean with the Persian influence. And the reason I started looking at my heritage, usually something good or bad happens in your life, you start looking at your own backyard. And in my case, unfortunately, it was a tragedy. And I started thinking, wait a minute, what's the best way to get back to it, right, in a positive way? And I am like, what's better than just introducing the cuisine that has been there for 2,500 years? Unfortunately, the politics, religion, everything has been overlooked. And absolutely, thanks for you guys, people in the media, and diners. It's been overwhelming, open arm welcoming for me, and I'm thrilled and I'm honored to doing what I'm doing right now.
Huh. Now, if I was to come to your restaurant, what is some of your specialty dishes?
What usually you eat the names, like for example, you hear it say, I say Szechuan, which is one of the sauces that we reduce the ground walnut with the pomegranate. And it's one of the very popular sauces in Iran. They use the chicken or duck. And my job as a chef, you know, what I am trying to do is this dish has been done forever. And the best cooks, like my home cook mom, they're amazing. I respect that, but for me, it was a time to think about how I can transport it to newer generation and people at home. They can start making it easily. And right now, for example, I usually post all my picture recipe on my Facebook too. And I have two Facebook. One is the Hustle, which is I passed 5,000, and I don't like pages, so I open another one, Hustle II, which is open for people to add me and get my recipe. Anyway. This festival June I am doing right now, I am usually coming to side up a lot of rice. I am stuffing basmati and wild rice with the mint and a little hazelnut inside the quail. And then I roast the whole quail. And I put it presented on the plate with the festival June sauce. And then the piece of leg of duck confit. So basically two birds, two ways festival June with a little nice apple salad in the middle.
Wow, sounds delicious. And where is your restaurant located? Are you there? Oh, I think we may have lost him. Are you there, Hoss? Oh, well, let me see if we can get him back on. We have lost his contact here, so hang on a second. We're going to see what happened. We have lost him completely. I'm going to go to a break. Sorry about this. Here we go again. I'm going to go to a break here, and I'm going to play another one of Matt Ritchie's songs. The guy was on our show last week, and I promised I would play some of his music. So while we try to figure out what happened to Hoss, we will play the music and be back here in about 4 minutes. This song is called Hurricane. Looks like I actually got Hoss back, so instead of playing the 4 minutes
of music.
I apologize.
Somehow I didn't know my phone got disconnected.
That's all right. You were just grabbing your food, and it was like, boom, you were gone. So you're located where in San Francisco?
The restaurant is on 606 Folsom Street in the Fine Soma area, Soda Market, between 3rd and 2nd. And this restaurant, Fly Trap, has been here since 88, which is the fourth location of the original Fly Trap.
Okay. So,
and the fact that you mentioned that you like the name, it's a very cute name. Quick version of it. It was a restaurant 1890 on Market Street called Louisa, and the owner was a very handsome old gentleman, Italian gentleman, and his business wasn't doing good, so he put a sample of the food on the table to attract the customers, and of course to get the horses and the streetcar flies are coming. So he puts it from the ceiling, he drops the sticky fly traps and the glasses on the table. People, they call the place Fly Trap. So that's how the name started. So 1902, he shuts down the restaurant. He gets pissed. He goes back to Italy. But 1908, after the earthquake, one of his cousins was very amazing, brilliant market man. He comes to San Francisco, and he said, wait a minute. He said, amazing. People, they give the name. So he opened the restaurant, Golden Gate, between Polk and Venice, and became the most popular restaurant. So the third one was on the Saturday of Montgomery, and this is the fourth location, 1988, Walter Zolezzi. Amazing gentleman. I had the pleasure and honor working with him. He was a very wealthy gentleman, but wealthy in the heart, too. So he brought his food back, and he used to come in and cook with us in the kitchen. I learned a lot from him. And he, I used to look up him as dad. So I learned from a lot, and it was very honored after 20 years taking over the restaurant, buying it, and it's full circle.
Very, it's a very interesting story, because that was when I saw the name Flytrap, I thought, wow, you gotta have a lot of gonads to call your restaurant Flytrap.
Yeah, it's still some young generation. They like, Flytrap, what kind of name is that? But when they go do their homework, they're like, wow, skip it. So that's when I took over. And I'm like, okay, the concept of the food is unfortunately changing. I cannot keep the same concept of food. So I kept the name. I didn't want to touch the history of the Zari at Flytrap. So I trapped on the Flytrap. So
I love it.
Yeah, I will share one quote that Harvey from the Food and Wine Spectator and his blog quoted that it's still like a goosebump and chills on it when I read it again. He came here with his beautiful wife and friends. They had a lunch and dinner. And after that, he blogged and said, for 100 years, it's been one immigrant story in this Flytrap, success. After one meal, I am looking forward to another 100 years of other immigrants. So it's story. And it was amazing. I mean, that was the biggest welcome back. I mean, it was like make me feel almost like a go 100 miles per hour. Amazing.
Now, Hoss, I noticed on your chef coat, on one of your photos on Facebook, you've got Hoss-Pitality, so Hospitality, which is a really cool way of taking your name and making it. And I've talked to a couple of people, and they say when they go to your restaurant, it is an experience, and there is lots of hospitality. And I hope you've locked in that name for a website.
Yeah, I have the hospitality.com. I haven't started yet, but it that shows my culture. I mean, people, unfortunately, because of politics, religion, they think that everybody hustle there. But we Iranian, we are party animals. We have any excuse to get dressed up, party, enjoy the food. People, they don't see that one. I mean, they see that, wow. I mean, for me,
right.
You go to my, if you want, God rest him in the peace, if you pass away, my time, if you knock the door, you say, I am your son's friend. They will open the door. They keep you as long as you stay there. They take care of you. The whole people are hospital. And then when I have my name, I'm like, wait a minute, this is a great one. My door is open for public. They come to my home. They spend the time, 3 or 4 hours dining with me. So it's nothing better than just greeting them, getting to know them, giving them a hug. I mean, my thing is every day when I wake up, I have two things if I, at night when I go home, see if I have done it. One, make somebody smile. Two, make somebody warm to them happy. And if every people every day in the morning do that one, we will have a beautiful society. But two things, make one person smile, put a smile on their face, and make somebody valuable, very wanted.
That's so true. That's a great way of looking at life every day. And when I saw your first name, Hoss, of course, you've heard this thousands of times. You remember the old Bonanza show with Hoss
yes,
Cartwright?
Yes, that's how it started, my friend. Well, it's short note. I can announce the first news coming in your show. So that would be it for you. You were gentleman enough to have me on your show. I am in the middle of my book that people, they can read this whole my story of my life. I've been had a big bump in the road of journey I had, tragedy, happiness, everything. And these are all I am working. Hopefully by next fall I have my book out. It's going to be a cookbook, but the bio combination,
oh,
which is very unique.
Great. So you're planning that book next year?
By fall it will come out. Like I say, it's going to be a beautiful bio of my life and journey to U.S., how I end up being here, I had no country, and it was lots of things happened in my life, but it's going to be carried the recipe. Each chapter is going to have its own related recipes.
We definitely got to have you on. Once your book is finished, we'll have to have you back on to talk about the book. That would be great, and I wish you success on that. Now, I want to ask you, I know you're a busy guy in the restaurant constantly. I know being in the restaurant business is tough, but I asked some guests to come on to tell us something about them that people may not know anything about. Like, do you have any special talents? Do you play a musical instrument, sing, or do anything like that?
I wish I would have played, but I used to play professional soccer. But, and
oh,
I
really?
Play right now. Even, yeah, I used to when I was young. And even though I do two things right now, it makes me happy right now. I am 50 years old right now. I have a team for the restaurant. I support them, sponsor them. So the whole of these players are from Spanish or the in a low budget family, they, when I'm going on the street, become a gang member, I'm trying to help them to come to sports, keep them away from trouble, play soccer. That's one thing. Another one, after this 20-some years of career in the restaurant business, knock on the wood as a humble way of saying that, I find myself very effective in the charity event. Unfortunately, I cannot be the hero Robin Hood, but I am doing my best for those charities that I, you know, is there in my heart, trying to... I did the joke, you're going to laugh about this. I sold myself. I'm the option. I said, take us home for dinner of the 10. And actually, we did last one in a few weeks ago. It went for $16,000.
Wow.
So those are the stuff I am like the Make-A-Wish Foundation, I can mention. I was very happy when I did one for the palette, clip palette for the kids. People, they don't know that. These kids,
wow,
they get bullied in the school in the other countries because they have clip palette. $240, they can have a forever life-changing experience. $240, that's equal for two dinner for two people or two people go out right now. You can give a little kid to the future. And my job right now as a chef and owner, I want my business, but also I want to get the people aware about this kind of thing they can help. And they've been amazing. Like, I get my heart to heart by helping. When they come here with a heart to heart care, I raise the money for their people.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to read your book when you're complete with that, because it sounds like you have an interesting story, and I'm sure that our listeners would like to learn more about your life and how you got, you know, from Iran to here and the background story. So make sure you let us know when that's all complete. We'll have you back on the show to help promote your book. And as far as the restaurant, I'm going to have to check out the Fly Trap.
Please,
when I come up fine. There. Definitely. And I want to make sure everybody goes to your website. We've got it listed here on the show link. All you have to do is click on Haas's website here at Zare. That was Zare, actually, but it's Zare at flytrap.com. And the link is right here on our show. And Haas, thank you very much for stopping in and telling us a little bit about your story and about
thank
your
you
restaurant.
So much for
and keep
me.
It posted.
Yeah, well, just to finish one thing I want to add quickly.
Yeah.
I have started this beautiful train, which is Persian cuisine infusion or Mediterranean. My goal, I have my glories in the past. I have been in this business for a long time. I feel like I am born. I am trying to be something for society. I hope this young generation to catch this one. I cannot wait until tomorrow or 1 month, 1 year, to see this young kid. They take my idea, flourish it and become the very successful, and I can sit down and enjoy that one. That, all my goals is like that, to get this concept spread. It's beautiful food, yummy and healthy, and I just want this young chef, they can start taking a look at this concept and move on and become very successful. And I would be proud
right.
to see that I was part of it.
Great. Well, thank you, sir, for joining it. We appreciate you coming on, and keep us posted, and have a happy holiday up there in Northern California.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend. It was
great
to see you.
Take care. Everybody
Thank
check
you.
Out Zari's website. It's Zare at flytrap.com. Haas, we appreciate him coming on our show this morning. I'm going to take a brief break here, play a little Christmas music, and then come back. And I've got a couple little stories, music, first, and then we'll play the food news. Our food news girl couldn't make it today, but she sent me some food news that I'll pass along real quick. So everybody hang tight. I'm going to play Jingle My Bells, and we will be back here in about 3 minutes.
Come on and jingle my
Mention for those of you who have listened to the show a lot, you hear me talking about this little market. Well, not little, we got 300 stores called Fresh and Easy here in California. Well, I read last week that Fresh and Easy, which is owned by Tesco, which is a European company, looks like they may be shutting down their doors, and that was sad news to me because I get my big Kahuna wine from there. It's their private label wine. It's $1.99 a bottle. But yeah, they're not doing too well here in California. They got the 300 stores, and I guess they're having a hard time competing. But I have to admit, it's one of the cheapest places to go buy your meats and foods. And I've always said I don't know how they make any money off of me when I go shopping there. But they sell ground beef. Has specials for $1.99 a pound. They had pork loins for $1.99 a pound, boneless breast for $1.99 a pound. I got my Thanksgiving turkey. All you had to do was spend $30 and get a free turkey. So I guess I can understand why Tesco may be putting them out of business and shutting their doors. I hope it's not true, but they said they'll be making a decision at the first part of 2013, I got an idea for them that they might want to raise their prices and they might be able to stay in business, but it's a great place to shop. But it looks like they may be biting the dust. I hope not. But just wanted to pass that along. You guys have heard me talk about Big Kahuna, so I guess I'm going to have to stock off on my $1.99 wine and put it somewhere in the cellar, because if they go out, I guess I won't be able to get it anymore. But anyway, wanted to pass that along. It looks like Aaron's not going to be coming back here. He's at the contest in Florida. Aaron, if you're listening, we wish you the best luck, you and your team, Baxter's Original, and hope you guys do well at the contest there in Florida, and thank you for stopping in, especially introducing us to the lady with the sauce this morning. And I want to mention next week we have a great group coming on, the Florida group. As a matter of fact, Aaron's cousin is in the band. They're called Sunset Circus, and they've got some really interesting, really good music, and I think everybody will like that. And they'll be coming on a show along with David Verdini and also Chef Franco. They both have been traveling on a cruise ship for I guess about 3 weeks now, and they're going to come on next week and talk about their adventure and all the places that they've been on this cruise ship. And David is a food photographer, and he's traveling with Chef Franco, and I think that there's going to be some interesting stories to tell. And if you follow Chef Franco on Facebook, you see some of the photos he's been posting about his trip. So they'll be joining us next week. And then the following week, we're going to have a Christmas show. We're going to be playing past guests who've been on our show playing their Christmas music, and they're all sending me some of their files for Christmas music, some really good stuff. So the 22nd will be basically a musical show of Christmas music from guests past, and we look forward to playing some of their music. And I want to thank again everybody for joining us each and every week. We never know what's going to happen, as you can tell, and I guess that's why it's so much fun. But if you'd ever like to be on the show, all you have to do is contact me through email, greenideas@earthlink.net, or find me on Facebook, either at Green Ideas or the Green Ideas Radio Facebook page. Let us know if you're in the food business,
you'd love to come on our show and talk about what you do, you're always welcome to join us. And we're always looking for good talent. If you sing, dance, or play the piccolo, whatever, we would love to have you on. If you got a talent, look us up. We have had some really good guests, and hopefully we can give you a chance to introduce your music to our listening group of people. And we do have a following now that's growing every week. And I guess that's pretty much it. I thank everyone once again for joining us. Go out and be safe while you're out there, I guess, shopping for all the holiday gifts and all the fun. And we're going to close out the show with a little Christmas music. Run DMC. Everybody have a nice weekend, and we will see you next week.
Original Premium Barbecue Supply, located at 115 10 Mile Road in Fitzgerald, is where you'll find all of your barbecue supplies in one place. They have competition-grade barbecue sauces, high-quality specialty rub. Baxter's is the home of Komodo Joe ceramic grills, which are better than the Big Green Egg. Shop online at www.baxtersoriginal.com or visit Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply at 115 10 Mile Road or call 229-425-6583.